In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sitientes veniti ad aquas. All ye who thirst, come to the waters, saith the Lord. This Saturday was, in former times, one of greater solemnity. It was a very common Saturday, and indeed it was one which was canonically established for the conferring of the sacrament of holy orders, just as it would be for an Ember Saturday, we have spoken about many times. That, however, is not the theme which is most evident to us. What is most evident to us today is a hearkening, once again, for those who only just this past week have been formally received as catechumens. In the Wednesday of the Great Scrutiny, which was a few days ago, the Roman Church would officially close its list of those who were to be baptized on Holy Saturday. And they would undergo at that time their final examination and even the initial exorcisms. Today, then, it is a joyful thought which awaits them, and for us as well, as we bid, in a sense, farewell to Lent. Today is the final day of Lent proper. At First Vespers tonight, all of the images and all of the crosses in churches will be shrouded, for Passiontide will have begun. In these last moments of Lent, we hear the voice of the prophet, which in fact we heard at the beginning of Lent, although it might have escaped your notice. The words that greet us in the epistle today are, "In an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee." These were the words we heard on the first Sunday of Lent. And the apostle, commenting on them, tells us, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, these are the days of salvation." And at Vespers of the first Sunday of Lent, that is the Lenten resolution which the Church proposes to us for these days. "In these days, therefore," as we sing that evening, "let us display ourselves, let us comport ourselves as ministers of God, in iuniis, in vigiliis, et in caritate non ficta, in fasting, in prayer, and in unfeigned charity." And yet Lent is not over. We have as yet 2 weeks. Why then do we think in these terms? It is because, whereas now the Church has been proposing to us, up until this day, the theme of examination of conscience and self-amendment, the correction of our faults and doing penance for our sins, even this practice now must give way to the even greater thought that awaits us. From this evening onward, all our thoughts must be on the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sufferings which he underwent for our salvation. He is the one now who hearkens to those who are about to be baptized with words so beautiful that surely if I were to cite them in full, there would be no need for me to preach. I can only counsel you that the entire Gospel of St. John is something for you to read and reread for your entire life and keep close to your heart. I hope we know well enough the words with which our Lord greets us this afternoon. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me walketh not in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It has been pointed out by some commentators that this is one of seven I ams that our Lord pronounces in the most beautiful gospel of St. John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And yet tomorrow, on Passion Sunday, when we hear of the work which our high priest is about to undertake for our salvation, he pronounces one more of these I ams. Now, when questioned by the Jews, he will declare to them openly, "Before Abraham was, I am." In the other seven I ams, he speaks of his work as our incarnate Lord, as God who became man for our salvation, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. In declaring, "Before Abraham was, I am," he reminds us that he has come from the Father, that he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, co-eternal, co-equal, one in substance, and undivided. He is that Word which we heard at the beginning of St. John's Gospel was in the beginning with God, and that Word was God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I, says our Lord, I and the Father are one. The Father is in me, and I in the Father. At this point, somewhat earlier in that same gospel, is when we hear that the Jews take up stones to hurl at him. And he asks them why. And they say, "Because, speaking in this way, you declare yourself to be God." To which he replies, "Does not your own law declare you are gods? For so David speaks in the psalm." If even those who are servants of God are called in some way to share in his divinity, our Lord continues, those who have received the word of God, if even they can be called in some sense divine, how much more then, he says, that very word itself, who has proceeded from the Father. Before he takes his leave of us, before he ascends to Calvary, our Lord promises us that he will be with us by that great mystery of habitual sanctifying grace. "If any man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. And the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And now, Father, the hour is come. Glorify me with thyself, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made." As we prepare now for these two darkest weeks of the year, when we beg for all our sentiments to be united with Our Lady of Sorrows on Calvary, let us then turn to our Immaculate Mother, the Mother of all the living, and remember that in the words of the prophet today, a mother can never forget her children. And know our Mother of Sorrows surely cannot forget all the children whom her Son has come to redeem.